This is the audio that goes along with Experience Hendrix versus Electric Hendrix, another example of trademark infringement. We're under Section 32 of the Lanham Act because we have a registered trademark. If you go there on the first slide, these are trademarks that have been registered by the Hendrix estate. Here's one of them, a picture mark, Experience Hendrix with the silhouette of Jimi Hendrix in the middle. I've heard that he made music, maybe. I'm not really sure. But there's a whole host of marks that have been registered here. Word marks, so that's for the text of the words, regardless of how they appear. Authentic Hendrix, Experience Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix, etc. They're alleging infringement by the people on the right there that have the following unregistered marks, and that is for Jimi Hendrix Electric Vodka, or Hendrix Electric Vodka, that's there. And you can see why Experience Hendrix might be suing Electric Hendrix. I think they're concerned about the idea that there's an association between the two. That would be why we would be doing likely to confusion. If you read the case, there also appears to be a real push by the Hendrix estate to not associate Jimi Hendrix with alcohol and alcohol products in general. And so the court needs to go through the likely to confusion analysis. And here we're going to do the likely to confusion analysis. We're in the Western District of Washington. We're going to do it in the Ninth Circuit, which follows the Sleek Craft versus Slick Craft AMF Boats factors. But we'll notice that these factors are very similar to the factors from Toucan Sam. If we step back, one of the things we can ask ourselves is whether these marks are protectable. We've got registrations. The registrations have been on file for more than 10 years, so they're incontestable. That doesn't mean they can't be challenged, but there's a strong presumption of validity. And even if we think about the mark Jimi Hendrix as a word mark for, let's say, caps, jackets, etc., maybe there'd be this question that it's descriptive, although it might be descriptive of Jimi Hendrix. It's not descriptive of a t-shirt, jacket, or cap. Maybe it's descriptive of entertainment services, but certainly here we've got secondary meaning that they come from a single source, that they are products that are either made by or licensed by them, and they're the senior user in commerce ahead of Jimi Hendrix Electric Vodka. And so we get into the same or very similar factors that we saw in Toucan Sam to determine whether we've got a likelihood of confusion. Now, one thing we can do is we can step back and ask ourselves the two big questions, that is similarity of the marks and similarity of the goods and services. And clearly, probably similarity of the marks, these are fairly similar between the two, right? Because particularly because they're referencing Hendrix here, and even the pictures and silhouettes might be similar, but then also similarities of the goods or services. And here, maybe they're not that similar, right? And that maybe likelihood expansion comes into play. It turns out that even Hendrix Electric Vodka was putting some of their names and stuff on t-shirts, essentially promotional items, etc. But the idea that these would be close, right? Maybe not directly competing, but close between the two would push us to at least go through all of the factors. And so this takes us to slide number two, and let's just walk through them. The first is strength of the mark, and there we're looking at the level of distinctiveness here. These marks, right, by Hendrix aren't arbitrary and fanciful for certain, because they are actually of somebody that we know, right? This Jimi Hendrix. It's descriptive, probably, and we have at best, right, this idea of secondary meaning, although there was really good evidence, right, of secondary meaning there. And it might turn out that some of the marks could be unique enough to at least be arbitrary for the underlying goods and services, and these would be maybe the silhouette that we looked at before. So we've got strong marks. The court pushes these to be a little bit stronger than they probably actually are. The incontestability, the fact that they've been registered for so long, is certainly going to help the Hendrix estate in its push to say that there's a likelihood of confusion. But this factor probably is not as strong for Experience Hendrix as the Toucan Sam mark was in the Kellogg versus Toucan Golf case. Then we go to the second factor, proximity or relatedness of the goods. We don't have directly competing goods. And actually, the defendants even point out that the plaintiffs have kind of promised not to use their marks at all with alcoholic products or alcoholic goods, etc. But these would likely be related products, particularly to the relevant consuming public, right? The idea that those who buy t-shirts, glasses, not glasses, but t-shirts and memorabilia, etc., that deals with rock and roll, and also buying vodka, that these two things have some relatedness between the two, and that it would be highly likely that the purchasing public would be motivated to buy the vodka because they think it's of a similar, coming from a similar source, or at least a similar proximity to the good that we're looking at from Experience Hendrix, the t-shirts and other type of rock and roll memorabilia that's there. And so we've got maybe not a directly competing proximity to good, but we certainly have some that are pretty similar to each other. Then we get to similarity of the marks. Here the marks are almost exactly similar. Quite frankly, even that silhouette that we saw on the previous slide is very similar between the two. This pushes heavily toward likelihood of confusion. Then evidence of actual confusion here. We've got emails that are being sent to the plaintiffs, and quite frankly, emails probably that are being sent to the defendants as well, where, but say that, look, we think these are related, aren't these both sponsored by Hendrix, etc., and so that actually pushes us toward likelihood of confusion. What about the marketing channels that are used? Do these go through similar places? Here, maybe not directly, right? Particularly not in Virginia, where we've got ABC stores that really sell nothing but alcohol. But we could see the ads for both of these appearing on similar web pages, that the advertisements for stuff that relates to Jimi Hendrix and advertisements that relate to alcoholic products might both be in, I don't know, I haven't picked up my monthly guitar magazine, but we could see those both being in the same place. Degree of customer care. Here, our thought is those who buy vodka products might exercise some care. They talk about this difference between those who buy it at a bar less, maybe more so if I'm buying it actually at a store. I'd be more cautious when I'm looking at it. And so we've got some customer care that's there, although the fact that they might be looking for similar products coming from a similar source, right, unlikely that that would be enough to push us away from likelihood of confusion. I'm not sure. I'm not sure here what the level of customer care is for the, especially the defendant's products, alcohol. My gut is for the plaintiff's product, there might be a decent amount of customer care. Although, again, I don't know if I care whether it's a licensed Hendrix product or not. I just want to be associated with Hendrix. The court eventually concludes that this factor just doesn't help the defendants. It doesn't really necessarily conclude that it helps prove likelihood of confusion. On the intent prong, I think here we've got a problem, right? There's almost no question that Electric Hendrix is trying to trade off of the Hendrix name. That pushes toward likelihood of confusion. And I think particularly with expansion, even though we've got evidence that the plaintiffs say they're never going to enter the alcoholic beverage market, the consumer certainly would think that there would be some association between the two. And so with that, we've got very similar marks, goods that are at least related, and some other factors pushing toward likelihood of confusion. And so the court finds likelihood of confusion.